Accession number 31414.
Mike Juni Reel 3.
Yeah, okay. Anyhow, so we...
Sorry, Mike, just in terms of time now, where are we now? We're now in July...
Well, we are... That was later. That was July...
1940. Yes,
that's July 1940, about that time. And so we stayed there on to, but we are not allowed to go into the water there. I don't know why. But it didn't matter. We stayed there three days on the banks of Tiberium. And a funny thing happened the first time that I met with scorpions. Well, night time, of course, went to some blankets and so on. But in the morning, when I moved the blankets, underneath there were four scorpions. Nothing happened. That was lucky. Anyhow, we started three days. Meanwhile, we started to have good food, really. Biscuits and the other jam and the other. And I met also a friend of mine came along, a Jewish chappy who used to live in the place I used to live, in Kosovo, Turkey. So I had a friend there, that was very nice.
And he was living there?
He was living there, he was already there, he was living actually in Tel Aviv. Anyhow, the next day, lorries, buses came along, Jewish buses, and they took us, the whole shooting match, to a place called Latrun. That's between Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. Terrible place, a hilly sort of little hill and nothing on it except the and it was very, very hot, absolutely. Fortunately enough, there was a monastery, Trappist monastery on the, that was little bit of woods. And that was very handy to us as well, because they produce vines. So we started our training, retraining again. And we got uniforms, British uniforms, and
did you meet with the British there? Because
pardon?
Did you meet with the British there?
Oh, absolutely. That was arranged even when we were in Syria. That's the reason we crossed it, because we were told, yes, you can come along. And so we started our training anew. It was the hottest time in the year, of course, it's July, and we received our first wages, our first salary. And you'll be shocked. We received all the money in gold sovereigns. And the value of a sovereign was four times the value of a pound. The sovereign was £4 then. So the wages we got were four times the normal we would have had. Why it happened, I couldn't explain that. Anyhow, there was a lot of, it's called kashtane. And that's the first pay. And again, we started our training and with the new arms and so on. And we stayed there in Latrun. I bought a motorbike myself with the money. I didn't know what to do. A rich man. So,
what kind of what sort of motorcycle was it?
One of the old things.
BSA or a British bike.
It was a British bike, all right?
Norton or an Ariel or something. I was just wondering, what news did you have of the European War? We're now in July 1940. This is terrible time for Poland.
We knew that Polish people took part in the Norwegian thing then. Then it started some action, German action against the French people started, and they were taking part in it. And we also knew that the German occupied the France, went into the France, and there was
and the British retreat, Dunkirk.
His retreat, and but meanwhile, we were sent after several months in Latrun. We were then sent to Egypt.
And just to get a handle on the date again, this would now be, what, October, September, October, 1940?
Well, that would be the winter time, actually. That would be the end of 1940.
And how many were you? How big was the Carpathian Brigade then? How many men?
Pardon?
The brigade?
Yeah.
How many men?
I should say about 3,000.
Quite a substantial force.
Quite a substantial force.
And was it a good fighting unit, do you think? Was it well trained, well equipped?
That was the best fighting unit, because these are all volunteers. Don't forget, people who didn't want to go to war, they say, well, we are staying in Hungary. These were the mostly teachers, mostly intelligent people. There were more officers than needed. They were needed then. So we had an officer's company. They are separate. Anyhow, we were taken by the end of I think that was the end of the year. I remember the other thing is I got actually a newsletter from the 15th of September, 15th of August 1940 in Latrun issued, that was Polish Soldiers' Day. I'll show you with the pictures, everything, and that's 1940, I still got it, so anyhow, we were moved to Egypt. And we were placed in the outside Alexandria village, small village there called Agami. That was Italian village, beautiful buildings, and they removed from there. I don't know what happened to the people there. They removed, they occupied. And that was just outside the aerodrome there. It was civil and war airfield. And there were the swordfish aircraft. You remember the swordfish, the famous swordfish?
I do, indeed.
Aircraft there. And we were to guard it. And that's the first time we came under the fire, under the bombing, or Italian bombing. So there were some killed there, and of course, because we were on the beaches of Mediterranean there. And night time they used to come, and they probably wanted to bomb the airfield, but instead they dropped the bombs on us. Anyhow, so we were there, and again training. They were building at the time. They were building some military object there, and. Anyhow, we are guarding the place. Apparently, we were along the fence, aerodrome fence. We were nighttime. We were there and guarding the aerodrome bunker. They were building bunkers actually on the sand. And that funny thing, what happened to them later on, I'll tell you. anyhow, we stayed there till the autumn. This 1941, and then by destroyers from Alexandria, we were taken to Tobruk. There were six or seven destroyers, British destroyers, taking us to Tobruk. There were some efforts on the part of Germany to bomb us, but not successful. And we started in the morning, but they arrived in Tobruk night time. I think it was about 11 o'clock, and that was a hell. We were surrounded by the only entrance there was the port there. But around there were British and German and Italian forces there, and fire all the time, fire, bombing, and on top of that, Stukas, the German Stukas, used to fly and bomb the port itself mostly. But we were constantly under Italian fire. The same places, the distance between our trenches, our position, and the Germans is only 300 yards.
So this was your really first experience of
that
the war.
This was real. Well, on top of that, that was a problem we had with the trenches. They were very shallow, because about foot and a half, there was a rock. You couldn't dip in the thing here. So all the time, you have to walk like that. Anyhow, the main thing was then to see that we are safe, and there is in a way that we put our hand on the front fields of the that will be patrolling the thing. We would not allow the German or patrol the thing. And we succeeded in that.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Well, patrolling of front fields.
The no man's land, you mean?
No man's land, yes. The first thing we decided, we are going to put our hands on that, see that they don't come any close. And indeed, we succeeded in that, and patrolling. We were patrolling all the night time comes, patrols go out, and...
And what would you do on the patrols?
On the patrol, well, there was danger. Just walking up to the German position, you know, as quietly as possible. We had special boots for that purpose. But the only danger was the mines. If I never forget, with one of our patrols, I was leading the patrol to myself then. It was the flashlights. Aircraft flashlights dropped, and the place became absolutely lighted. So I fell down, and suddenly there sat a heart under me. And what it was a mine. But fortunately, it was a transport mine. The mine that would not explode normally. It required about 70 kilo to sort of exist. That was against the cars or tanks or that sort of thing. So, but it was a frightened experience. So when the flash died out, I moved out, leave it alone. Anyhow, we were in charge of the no man's land. Anyhow,
what kind of opinion did you have of the German troops? Were they as opponents? Were they very well trained? Very accurate at shooting? Were they dangerous? I mean,
well, it was a difference between the opinion that we had for the Italian troops and the German troops. They were two absolutely different. German troops, these were mostly tank troops, armored division and that sort of thing. So they were usually behind the Italians, keeping the Italians there. And we had an officer who managed to get through nighttime, of course, and hidden. Managed to get the line, Italian line, up to the Germans, actually. But and returned. Well, of course, we knew what he told us. We already knew that was the case. Anyhow, we were there. And every day there were the bombing raids and constant. The only time that it was quiet was in the evening, about 8 o'clock in the evening, as if we arranged that. It was 2 hours quiet, no shooting. No. That was when we had our supper and food delivered to us. It so happened that the food delivered to my company, I was in charge of company, although I was on this second lieutenant then. I was already in charge of company because the company commander was killed on the bomb exploded, personal bomb actually. And the officer who used to deliver the food to was my brother. Because he traveled actually with me.
He was still with you all the time.
He was all the time, and even here he was with me.
Were you, you were fighting, there were Australian troops in Tobruk?
The Australian troops, we replaced them actually in Tobruk. And the funny part was that when we wandered around on the normal land, we used to discover corpses, Australian corpses. They were there, they were not removed. And we brought them, the corpses, we tried to get them back and to Australia. I replaced them, and my company replaced the Australian company, actually. So that was. I don't know why they've left the corpses there. Why, but we did. Australian arms and that. But we had machine guns, all sorts of German Spandaus. They left somewhere. Schwarzlosen, that's the Austrian, remember then, and Maxims, Russian, machine guns.
And so you were using them all?
So we were. We've used the Spandau, although we had no ammunition, but it so happened the British ammunition fitted. It's a tiny little bit loose.
A 303, was that? A 303.
But we fitted the Spandau. And we used to use them, Spandau. We didn't use the other Schwarzlose. The Schwarzlose we used once, just for fun. What we did, we brought them as forward as much and put a string into the...
What is it? I don't know what a Schwarzlose is. What is it?
Machine gun.
It's a kind of machine gun, yeah.
That's the used by the Austrian, I remember, and Schwarzlose. And we taped the one over the, we had a string, we put away some 200 yards away, and we pulled in the whole tape, the munition shoot. And the Italians started to drop bombs on there. These were the, what do you call them?
Mortars.
Mortar bomb, yes. Mortar bomb. It was just for fun.
Did you capture any Italians? Did you
yes,
capture
we
prisons?
Did.
And what was the protocol? What happened?
Well, what happened, of course, whenever we were just in front, several 50 or 100 yards in front, there were guards there. Just that. And one night, suddenly we heard a shooting, a shot. So we went out, and there he was, Italian sergeant, standing on the... And our soldier, Cook, in fact, when he spotted the chap, he came along, he was in charge of patrol, Italian patrol, but the rest of patrol didn't follow him. He was on his own. And he shot, warned us that we came along, and there he was standing. it was a sergeant. Cadet sergeant, he was the officer's rank, with grenades, with a pistol, and so we disarmed him. We ring up the battalion, the commanding officer battalion, that came along and got him. But we did, apart from that, some other people I know went to the Italian, actually, bunker where we were. Unexpectedly, and they got about six or seven people, and they brought it back. So we did that. Yes, that happened.
And what other troops were in Tobruk at the time? There were
some British troops, of course, and Czechs, even Czechs were there, but very short time, about 2 weeks, and then say, we don't want to stay anymore here, and they left. Of course, Australian, and I don't know whether there were any Indians or that, I couldn't tell you. But
so how long did this... I mean, now I just want to again get a time idea. We're now at the beginning of 1942.
Yes, well, we stayed there over Christmas time to 1942, we stayed there. And I think it was January 1942 when we broke out of the... pushed.
The object was to prevent the Germans coming in, but also to get out?
Of there, and we did that.
And Tobruk fell?
And Tobruk didn't fail. Well, we were there. We just broke out, and we started to march inside Libya there to get to the main stores. And there was a resistance there, Italian resistance. Of course, we broke through at Gazala. I was wounded there and taken to hospital, head.
What happened?
I was very lucky. The artillery shell exploded in front of me. And I was in position down, and it hit my helm.
Your helmet?
My helmet. But, of course, I lost conscious, and I was taken to hospital at Suez Canal, hospital called Geneva.
I'm going back to the breakout from Tobruk. You make it sound very easy, but it must have been...
Oh, it was a hell. You can't really describe the things, what was going on. All the time, and the ammunition used, the shrapnels in desert, there was a banging and mortar shed, but it was very short distances. I can tell you that a chappie, one of my soldiers, was killed in a trench just because he pushed his head off over the thing. And the 7 shells spun out in the head. So that was absolutely terrifying. Never quiet, never return. On other occasion, we had, of course, the people in front sort of guarding, observing what was going. And they had a machine gun there with them, of course, and the terrific shelling started, and they said, well, call them back from the position. And the next time we went out to have a look, and the mortar shell fell right where they were. And the unfortunately, they left the machine gun there that was in pieces. So it wasn't, I remember my brother coming with the one night, it happened only once, came with the food and the transport, and they started shelling. I don't know why, but that was most unusual. Oh, was he frightened? But anyhow, that's how it was, really.
So the object of breaking out was to...
The object of breaking out was to push the Italians and Germans back, obviously. And the Gazella at our attack, that was brigade who was attacking, was to capture stores, Italian stores, in the nearest town, which we did. We eventually beat the Italian defense, and mostly because of the carriers. You remember the carriers, their little mortar vehicle car. They went behind the lines, Italian lines, and threw the grenades from the carrier. And then, of course, frightened them to death there. So I didn't know that.
So you were taken
from the field. I was taken
by sea to Suez.
Yes, yes. I was taken to ship. The ship came to and loaded on the ship and then taken to Alexandria, and from Alexandria further on to Suez Canal. There, in the middle of the Suez Canal, there is a hospital. And from their hospital, after a month or so, when I regained consciousness, I was taken to hospital number 8 in Alexandria. There I spent another 2 months.
So you were really quite severely concussed. Yes. Very severely, I imagine.
But the funny part was that at that time, 2 or 3 months later, we were told that whoever wants to go and join Polish Air Force can do so. So I was very keen on that, because I dreamt always that I'd like to fly. And anyhow, we were sent to Cairo. Heliopolis is the aerodrome there. And we were sent there for the medical examinations. And I passed it.
Again, time-wise, now we're in the middle of 1942.
1942. June. Middle of 1942, absolutely, you're absolutely right. 1942. At that time, the Polish troops were withdrawn from action. First moved to Palestine, and the place I was staying in Palestine was Izdud, Gedera. And in months later, we were moved to Iraq.
And what was the reason for the withdrawal from action?
Well, the rest.
Because you
reorganized. Don't forget, 1942 was the time where the troops from Russia came along. And that was the reason to include them, organize them, and build up the forces there.
Forces, 1942,
it was the summertime when the troops started to arrive from Russia, and civilians, of course.
When you say the troops from Russia, Polish troops?
Polish troops, of course. General Sikorsky went to Russia, you probably heard about that, and arranged with Stalin, some sort of thing, and the Polish troops started to arrive there.
This was the time that the Russians again changed sides. And
well,
more or less.
Well, they were in trouble then, you remember, the same as we. They believed the Germans as well.
And the Germans.
Ribbentrop was the man who made the arrangement.
Ribbentrop, yeah. And the Russia, and of course the Germans were by that time on their way to Moscow, weren't they? They were.
That's right.
This is the time. Yes, I see. So I understand. So you were all withdrawn to Iraq. Iraq.
That's what they. Most of them landed in Iran, actually, Persia, and then they moved to Iraq, actually, and joined Polish Carpathian Brigade. But it grew up into Polish Second Corps, with two divisions, number 3 and number 5. Number 3 division, it was the old Polish Carpathian Brigade, had the same badges, and number 5 was the other things. So it grew to a large unit, a fighting army, which in 1943 was taken to Italy. But in 1942, autumn time, we were told we can go to this country to join Air Force.